All right, it's the first week of March. As always, Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup joins us for Ask the Mayor. Hello and welcome, Mr. Mayor. Any snow left there?
There's a few big piles, but you know, it's a good point you bring that up. This is my fifth year here, and this was the first year we really had a substantive snow. So I'm hopeful that we got it out of the way, and we got another 3 years of clear sailing. But it tested our people a little bit. There were a few days where they were up and at it at 3 or 4 in the morning. And nobody I know goes to work at 3 in the morning. I'm sure that, you know, there are people who work third shift, but nonetheless, I appreciate them getting out there when it's really the safest, when there are no other cars on the highways and they can get through the city in relatively short order.
Now, I know there's some flood warnings in effect, melting snow, heavy rains this past weekend. Any areas there experiencing flooding?
Yeah, we had Millrace Park closed for a day, I think, maybe 2 days, but nothing in the city that's really a problem.
So March kind of brings along spring, warmer temperatures, maybe kind of start to feel alive again, but then that weird feeling, because a year ago, I guess we could say now we're at the 1 year anniversary of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So I just want to see, you know, your thoughts about that and maybe kind of just take a look at a year back and what was going through your mind when all of this started happening.
Well, a year ago, I do remember thinking that this was going to be a big deal and this was going to be with us for a while. I had not anticipated 12 months or what is likely to be another 4 or 5 yet to go. But I knew it would be a big deal. We have, people who work here in Columbus who have business relationships in Wuhan, China. And so we got some information pretty early on that was very credible that indicated that this was a real deal. I mean, people were getting sick and people were dying, you know, from this. And so we needed to be aware and cautious. And so our first reaction was to send some personal protective equipment to the Wuhan friends that we have, because this came onto them pretty quickly. And then it wasn't too much after that that we were asking them for help in reverse. So they sent boxes upon boxes of masks and hand cleaner and other PPE type items. And it's been a year. Our first COVID task force meeting here locally was the end of February. I don't think it was the 28th, but it might've been. So again, we were able to get on this a little early in large part because of the credible communication that we had from Wuhan. And I think that it helped in terms of alerting our community a little sooner. We have throughout this pandemic been able to post a little better numbers than elsewhere in the state of Indiana. And again, I think a lot of it came from early warning and early reaction. You know, again, if I think back on that first meeting, we were able, with about 48 hours notice, to gather here at City Hall. We were meeting in person at that time, but we had gathered here leaders from Bartholomew Consolidated Schools, leaders from the industry. We had some folks from the county, emergency management, a couple clergy, just folks from all walks of life come together to hear what we had to say and to sort of take to heart the fact that this was a serious issue that we were going to have to deal with. So, I can tell you in the time that we've been here, I mean, been dealing with this, the community's reaction has really been pretty good. I mean, we've had some, some frayed nerves from time to time, as people have reacted to some of the various stages of shutting down the economy or shutting down their lives. But folks seem to get it. I think everybody's pretty fatigued at this point, but and realizing that we've got a little ways to go. But I got my second vaccination shot Saturday. And yeah, age has its privileges, Joe. You'll learn this someday. But I got mine Saturday. My wife got hers yesterday. And so we feel pretty good. I mean, she had a little ice pack on her arm, last night. I didn't really have any kind of reaction to it. So I feel comfortable in thinking that the vaccine is going to work for all of us, work pretty well. It's just going to take some time, to get through to the number of people that we need to get vaccinated in order to have what they call herd immunity. Depending upon what I've read or what you read, 70 to 85% people, the percentage of the people need to be vaccinated. And in Bartholomew County, that gets us somewhere to around 70,000 people. And the last time I checked, we had gotten to 7,400 in Bartholomew County with two shots. And so we got a ways to go. But again, I've been really pleased with the cooperation that we've received from the school system and the industry here in town. I mean, they've taken it to heart, the clergy, taken it all to heart and instituted procedures designed to help keep people safe. And I think because of that, like I say, we've been able to post better numbers than elsewhere in the state all throughout the pandemic.
And now we just found out this week, age 55 and up, now eligible to receive the vaccine. I just saw a statistic too, a case decline in nursing homes of 82% since the vaccine has come out. So this past year, there's been a lot of not knowing what's next. And now we're starting to get that feeling that we know what's next.
Right, right. Like I say, I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. Tunnel's still pretty long. We've got a few more months to go. But I think we sort of see how this is going to wind up, and we can put a little bit of a, I hate to put a date on it, but sometime midsummer, you know, maybe a little later, but yeah, we'll get there.
Where are the vaccination sites there in Columbus? And then are there plans to expand when more vaccine comes?
I'm not aware of any plans to expand on what we've got. The places that come off the top of my head are Columbus Regional Health at 17th and Keller. The Bartholomew County Health Department, which is out in Fox Point Plaza, Sam's Club, Walmart, and CVS, and maybe Walgreens. I'm just not real sure about that. So there are several sites. Last time I checked the website, they identified six in Bartholomew County. So you should be able to find place, you know. And I will tell you that when Pam and I went online to make a reservation for our shot, it took us each about a half hour. Hers was a little bit longer, and she did get kicked off one time, you know, and had to re-enter. But by and large, it worked pretty well. We went online on a Monday and got our first shot on a Thursday. So yeah, it's the process works. It can be, you know, take a little time, you know, so you have to plan on sitting in front of a computer for a while. Take some patience with you when you go. But yeah, it works.
In your briefings, now that we've heard more people are getting both shots and becoming fully vaccinated, have you heard anything about what people can do in terms of meeting with others, you know, grandchildren, families?
Yeah, I think that you're able to resume that kind of in-person contact. I think it's still wise to wear a mask if you're with people who are not in your household. So that may put a little damper on some of the family meetings, but the people you're protecting are your family, you know, so you shouldn't feel too reserved about that. The indications that I've read, you know, the information I've read indicates that, you know, the vaccine is effective in reducing transmission, but, you know, there's still a lot that we all have to learn. I mean, normally these things take years to sort out. We've been at this for a year, right? And the vaccines maybe even a little bit less. So I would encourage anybody to wear a mask when they're outside their household unit.
You know, you mentioned midsummer in terms of maybe getting somewhat back to normal. I saw in the Republic today that some officials there thinking perhaps a more traditional 4-H fair may happen. Are you starting to get those type of things coming up in the future?
Yeah, I can tell you our calendar is beginning. My calendar is beginning to fill back up in terms of evening meetings or things to do on the weekend. And I'm still a little cautious personally, you know, about engaging in some of that stuff. But yeah, I think that it makes sense to continue to start to plan, you know, for events that may be midsummer, or I got something the other day that's scheduled for October. You know, my expectation is that by the time we get there, we should be able to hold that event. But, you know, you don't know until you know. And so we think we understand how this is going to work its way out and the timing. There's still needs to be a certain percentage set aside for the unknowns. And so we'll just have to wait to see how that unfolds.
Few other things on my list to talk about, you know, with all the conference center talk and everything else, I kind of lost about asking about the Crump Theater. It was once part of that mix, but now isn't. But something we've seen in many communities with an old downtown theater that's in disrepair and efforts for historic preservation. Do you have any updates on the Crump Theater?
No, I don't. the event that I just spoke about is a fundraiser for the Crump. It's been rescheduled now till October. And you know, there's a group that's trying to put a plan together that will preserve the Crump, and they're trying to figure out a way to raise the money to fund the plan. But and they're sort of working on both at the same time, and so you know, hopefully they can figure out a way for those two lines to meet at some point. But no, the Crump isn't part of our hotel conference center downtown plan.
You know, one other project caught my eye, the Riverfront project. An article in the Republic indicates some officials starting to maybe doubt the project as costs arrive. I believe we talked about $6 million. That was a little while ago. The paper now saying about $8 million. But I know you've also talked about a lot of regulatory items that's kind of, I guess, opens Pandora's box because you're dealing with a river, right?
Well, you're dealing with a river, plus you're dealing with multiple agencies. And so it's a real Rubik's Cube, I mean, in terms of trying to put all that together and make sense out of it. And you know, one of the things we've noticed with respect to COVID is a certain amount of fatigue. I mean, we just all get tired of having to live our lives a little differently. And so, you know, there's plenty of fatigue to go around. And with respect to the Riverfront project, yeah, we've been dealing with the Department of Natural Resources for 4 years. And you would think that at this point, we'd be a little further along than we are. And we're not. We've got a permit from them that allows us now to go talk to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. And so, there's going to be a little bit more time invested in trying to secure approvals from those agencies. We would think that once we have satisfied the DNR, that the other two would have a similar kind of series of screens that you would have to pass through and that we would be able to get their approval as well. But you don't know till you know, and it just takes time. And that's what we're working on. So while I understand that people rightly are getting a little bit fatigued at the length of time that this is taking, it's going to be a really neat project. I just cannot continue. I can't underemphasize how important I think this will be to the future of Columbus and our ability to make ourselves an attractive and attracting place. And I don't want to wander too far off here, but one of the things we've learned from the pandemic is that people don't need to live where they work. Now, some people will. I mean, you know, if you're on an assembly line or if you're in a plant or you're going to manage the plant, yeah, you're going to have to be close to the physical location. But we've got employers now in Columbus that are hiring with no expectation of relocation. So if those people want to move to Columbus, great. And if they don't, well, you know, that's okay too, as far as their employer is concerned. And so it's incumbent upon Columbus, as well as all the other communities in Indiana, to make ourselves as attractive as we can so that people will come here. Because at the end of the day, people are going to vote with their feet. And if we can't give them a reason to come here, then they won't. And so, I feel like projects like the Riverfront and Fair Oaks Mall are critical to Columbus's future in terms of being able to be, as I say, an attractive and attracting place.
And it's also a mitigation project too, right? It's just not recreation. So at some point, of the river work needs to get done, right?
Yeah, excuse me. The recreation part, it comes from the path, the people trail that we want to snake in through between the the pump house and the river. There's also in-water recreation piece. And a lot of people focus on that and think that that's really the only thing that we're about. But no, we've got some erosion on both sides of the river through there that threatened to uncover an old landfill and that may mess with our sewer system. So we really need to address those. And the dam that's in there today is not only dangerous, but it's falling apart. I mean, we've tried to get down there a couple of times when the water was really low and take some pictures so that people can see the extent to which that dam has deteriorated. The dam itself was originally a rubble dam, just rocks out in the middle of the river. And this was built back in the 1920s. And then somewhere along the line, somebody came along and put a concrete cap on top of the rubble. And the cap has broken in several places and has begun to slide down. So our concern, not only will it continue to deteriorate and break at some point when we, you know, can't control what we, our reactions are going to be, but we're also concerned about people. Folks, rightly or wrongly, get out there and swim, or they walk on the dam, or they walk below the dam, and we think that's kind of dangerous. So, we'd like to remove the dam while we've got a little bit of ability to control the manner in which we do that. So it's not just, yeah, you're right. I mean, your point is, it's not just about recreation. There's a whole lot more going on with that project than recreation. And we're trying to kill, we're trying to solve, use the right word here. We're trying to solve several problems. That's why, again, I sometimes refer to these things as Rubik's Cube. I mean, we've got several sides to solve, you know, make them all the same color, trying to solve all at the same time. And it's a challenge, but it'll be worth it. I'm really pleased with the project that we designed.
I see Exhibit Columbus announced its 2021 design presentations. Do you have any inkling of what that's going to look like this year?
Well, I look at those drawings, and I'm an accountant, okay? And they look really pretty, and I'm looking forward to them, but I sort of have to see it and feel it, touch it, you know, to be as impressed as I should be. But once again, you know, the folks who run Exhibit Columbus have come up with a really interesting challenge, a really interesting project presentation. And so I'm excited about what's coming. I think it'll be really, really neat. A lot of fun.
We just have a couple minutes left. Do you have any announcements, city council news, or ordinances that we should know about?
No, right now it's fairly slow, you know, on our agenda. We've got a council meeting this evening, you know, March 2nd in the evening, and we're going to be taking up on second reading and additional appropriation ordinance. You know, we oftentimes get grants or funds from state government or from the federal government, and they come in to the city for use for a particular purpose, but we can't spend them for that particular purpose until city council approves, and we call that approval process an appropriation. And so there's a few places in the budget where we want to go ahead and appropriate some of this additional money that we've received. There's an additional appropriation we want to make out of the edit funds, and there are a couple others in there that are sort of perfunctory. But as I say, that was passed the last council meeting on its first reading, and so will be read a second time tonight. And then there'll be a small, I'll almost call it a Scribner's error correction to our fire control or fire prevention regulations. And that'll be to conform to the Indiana State Code relative to fireworks. And I don't have the details right in front of me, but we get sometimes turned around as to whether something happens at midnight or 1 a.m. or, you know, January 1st or December 31st. And so what we try to do here is conform our local regulations with the state regulations. And that's the purpose behind the ordinance that will be introduced tonight. So really, I don't really see a whole lot I don't really see any contention, you know, to be uncovered here this evening. So kind of looking forward to a quick meeting.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. And I guess hope to see you in April.
We'll be here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome.